One of the most important requirements for all-around success is high levels of health and energy. And you are healthy to the degree to which you feel terrific about yourself. In this session, we're going to talk about some of the things that you can do to dramatically increase the amount of energy that you have available to you to do the things that you want to do and to achieve your goals. You're going to learn how to turn your body into a health and energy-producing machine. You will learn how to get the very best out of your body for all the years of your life. The starting point of achieving high levels of health and dynamic energy is for you to set a goal to live to be at least 80 years old. Now, you can decide to live to be 90 or 100 or 110 years old, but set a goal to live to be at least 80. Once you've set this as a goal and written it down, make the decision today that you will discipline yourself to organize all your health habits around achieving this goal. You then begin to systematically eliminate any habit or non-habit that you might have that might stop you from reaching that magic mark of 80 years of age. Starting today, let's agree that the human body is built to last 100 to 120 years with proper care and maintenance. There are several examples of tribal groups in South America and in the Soviet Union where it's quite common for their members to live to the age of 110 or 120, and there's even one man who lived to be 130 years old. The mystery that has occupied modern researchers for several decades, starting in the 30s, is the question, why is it that everyone doesn't live this long? When doctors in England introduced the lifestyle of the Hunza tribe of northern India to inner-city London and trained people to eat and exercise the way the Hunza people did, even poor people began to enjoy the same levels of health and vitality that the Hunzas enjoyed in the far-off Himalayas. Researchers in laboratory experiments have been able to increase the lifespan of laboratory rats by as much as 50% by changing their diets and the way they eat. It's generally reckoned that if you or I could eat, exercise, or live the same way that the Hunzas live, or eat the same type of human diet that the laboratory rats eat, we could add 20, 30, or even 40 years to our average lifespan. Before the end of the 20th century, we should know how to live healthy, happy lives right up to the 100th year of life. In the meantime, it's essential that you take advantage of the most advanced information that's available to you on health and vitality and incorporate it into your lifestyle. It's certainly true that many of our physical ailments are psychosomatic in origin. At least 80% of our chronic diseases can be traced to stress, anxiety, fear, and negative emotions. When we start to get our thinking under control and make sure that it's predominantly positive and constructive, most of our physical problems will evaporate. In a recent article in Psychology Today, researchers suggested that there is what they call a hardy personality. This is a type of personality that is highly resistant to disease and infection of any kind. This type of individual is invariably optimistic, cheerful, and highly resilient in bouncing back from disappointment and discouragement. The hardy personality is the personality that lives the longest and gets the most real pleasure out of life. Wonderfully enough, every single disciplined and determined step that you take to achieve higher levels of physical health and energy will tend to make you a more positive and optimistic person. These actions will develop in you the hardy personality that will do more than anything else to assure that you live to be 80 years old and more. The human body has a natural bias towards health and energy. Pain, illness, and disease of any kind are unnatural. Left to itself, the body works to maintain high levels of health and vitality for you and to generate a continuous flow of energy that you can use to get more enjoyment out of life. Each person's physical body, his or her physiology, anatomy, and structure is slightly different from that of every other person. Some health, diet, and exercise recommendations may be ideal for one person, but may not be exactly right for another person. Each person has to find the right combination of lifestyle ingredients that will enable them to sustain high performance over as long a period of time as possible. For you to be a great success in your chosen career, you must have high levels of energy that you can use to work longer and harder than your competitors. One of the characteristics of all high achievers and all self-made millionaires in America is that they work hard, hard, hard. They are able to start earlier, work. There are several proven techniques that you can use to get your weight down and keep off the extra pounds. The first is to set a goal for weight loss. Make the goal realistic. Determine that you will lose 5 pounds over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Set your goal at just 1 pound per week. When you set a realistic and believable goal for yourself, you're much more likely to believe that it's possible, and therefore to send the message to your subconscious mind to adjust your appetite in such a way that you will achieve your goal on schedule. In addition to affirming your ideal weight over and over, you should visualize yourself and what you will be like when you've lost the weight. For example, if you need to lose 30 pounds, you would set a goal to lose 5 pounds over the next 4 to 6 weeks, but you would begin to affirm, "I weigh my ideal weight." You would begin to visualize yourself as you would appear at that ideal weight. You could even take a photograph of a person out of a magazine who has a body that you would like to have, and then take a picture of your face from an old photograph and paste it over the face on the magazine photograph. Put this doctored photograph on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror and look at it every time you get a chance. Feed your mind with a picture of how you will appear at your new ideal level of weight. This is called thinking thin. This is the only way to permanently lose weight and keep it off. You must change your self-image with regard to weight and imprint on your subconscious mind a new picture of the way you want to be for the rest of your life. Once your subconscious mind accepts the new picture, it will actually turn down your apostat, which controls your desire for the amount of food that you want to eat. The weight at which you stabilize at any given time is called your set point. Doctors have recently concluded that each person has a set point or fixed weight that he or she goes back to, no matter how much weight he or she loses from dieting or fasting. The only way to get your weight down and to keep it down permanently is to lower your set point, very much the way you would turn down a thermostat in a building to lower the temperature to a specific level. Researchers have also discovered that whenever a person goes on a starvation diet of any kind, the body panics and overreacts by raising the set point. When the person stops dieting or fasting, the body rushes to replace the lost weight plus a little bit more besides, in preparation for the next round of dieting. People who diet in cycles therefore tend to become heavier after each period of starving themselves. That's why it's said that diets don't work. In fact, the more you attempt to lose weight by starving or fasting, the more likely it is that you will be continually overweight except at the very end part of your latest diet. Diet and weight loss centers are largely built on the creation of a perpetual clientele. A person signs up for a program of weight loss that includes a restricted diet, counseling, and support, and sure enough, they lose the weight. Meanwhile, however, the person's set point is being raised by the autonomic nervous system so that as soon as he or she goes back to a normal diet, his or her weight shoots up and beyond what it was to start with. And this can even happen when the overweight person is not eating any more than the normal weight person. Many fat people actually eat less than thin people, but because their bodies are storing weight for the next round of starvation, much of what they eat, especially if they are binging after a diet, is put on in the form of fat. When the person regains his weight, he remembers that the last time he was thin was when he was going to the diet center. So he trudges back and signs on for another expensive program that in the end will not only not work, but it will end up with him even fatter than before. The answer to this endless cycle of dieting and weight gain is to permanently lower your set point, your automatic weight-determining mechanism. You accomplish this by changing your lifestyle in two ways. First, you change the nature of the foods you eat, as we'll talk about in a minute. And second, you change the amount and type of exercise that you do. These two lifestyle changes will lower your weight, trim and tune up your body, and increase your energy levels. In combination, as you'll see, these changes will radically reduce your likelihood of falling victim to most degenerative diseases and will assure that you live a longer, healthier, and more active life. You'll notice that people who are lean and trim tend to eat moderately under all circumstances. If you offer them more to eat, they will politely decline. They simply no longer have the appetite to eat any more than they absolutely need to sustain their current weight. And you can program your subconscious mind to do the same for you. Once you do, in conjunction with eating selectively and exercise, you'll find it easy to lose weight and keep it off indefinitely. Here's some more ideas to help you take weight off and keep it off. First, eliminate the word diet from your vocabulary. Instead of going on a diet, what you are doing is simply changing the way you eat. People who go on diets go off diets just as fast. Make one change at a time in the way you eat. Don't try to do everything at once. If you do, you'll end up becoming discouraged and will fall back into your old eating habits. Keep a diet diary. Make a list of everything that goes into your mouth. Purchase a calorie counter and determine the number of calories that you are eating or drinking in a given period. Sometimes the simple act of measuring how much you're eating will serve as a break on your appetite. Eat more starches, more complex carbohydrates such as fruits and vegetables. Your body burns more calories when it's digesting carbohydrates. Here's a suggestion that has helped me and thousands of others to maintain a trim body. Begin each day by eating at least one and possibly two apples or other pieces of fruit. You will find that one apple will stimulate your appetite, whereas two apples will give you a feeling of being full. The apples will not only curb your appetite, but they act as a natural laxative, causing your entire system to function more smoothly. Many people find that when they start the day with apples or other fruit, they are less hungry for heavier foods for the rest of the day. The very act of eating two apples each morning will cause you to begin to lose weight, often at a faster rate than 1 pound per week. The second key to higher levels of energy, fitness, and vitality is proper diet. There are changes that you can make in your diet right now that will give you more energy, cause you to sleep better, and wake up more refreshed within as little as 24 hours. The starting point of developing a proper diet is to change the way you eat. You can, in most cases, continue to eat the same amount of food as long as you eat different foods and eat them in different ways. During the 1986 Olympics in Los Angeles, the diets of champion athletes from 120 countries were studied and compared. The researchers found that these high-performing athletes all ate foods that fell into three primary groups. The first food group was lean source protein. Lean source protein contains little or no fat. Examples of lean source protein are lean meats, fish, whole grain products, and dairy products from which the fat has been removed. According to Robert Haas in his book Eat to Win, your diet should contain approximately 15% of lean source protein. Most people eat far too much protein in their diets. If you eat more protein than you require for health and for cell replacement, your body will break it down and store it as fat. The second common denominator of the diets of the Olympic athletes was fiber-based carbohydrates. Fiber-based carbohydrates come from fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and foods such as potatoes, rice, beans, pasta, and corn. For maximum energy and vitality, as much as 75% of your diet should be composed of foods high in fiber-based carbohydrates. The reason for this is that this type of food, which is made up predominantly of carbohydrate, burns off in the form of energy during the course of the day and is never stored as fat for later use. The body can transform this kind of food into energy far faster than it can transform fats or protein. Fiber-based or complex carbohydrates are also the key to lowering your set point. The more of them you eat, the more fuel your body burns. As your body burns off these complex carbohydrates, it also burns off stored fat as well. In fact, it's been proven that you can actually eat and grow thin. You can lose weight at the rate of a pound or more per day and never feel hungry. You can even stuff yourself on complex carbohydrates while the pounds fall off. The more you eat these complex carbohydrates, the more likely it is that your set point will drop to a new, lower level, thereby stabilizing your weight at a point where you look and feel your best. That's right, you can eat all you want and lose weight. What's the catch? The catch is that you must eliminate fats of all kind from your diet. Not only are they the number one culprit in weight gain, but they are also the number one cause of most of the degenerative illnesses, such as heart attacks, many forms of cancer, arteriosclerosis, thrombosis, phlebitis, and diabetes. The main sources of fats in our daily diets are meat and dairy products of all kinds, especially cheese and butter. In fact, the foods that are the worst for you are also the foods that you probably feel taste the most delicious. There's a body of research and evidence today that suggests that our entire way of life with regard to eating, from our agricultural practices of raising livestock right through to our complex systems for processing all kinds of foods, lies at the root of most of our health problems in America. In lesser developed countries where they eat little meat and large amounts of fiber-based complex carbohydrates, especially fruit and other high-fiber foods such as potatoes, manioc root, and vegetables, their incidence of heart disease and bowel cancer, two big killers in the United States, are almost non-existent. In societies where rice is the major staple, like China, the people are virtually never overweight, and the number of degenerative illnesses they suffer is negligible. The evidence seems to suggest that we may be eating ourselves to death, and fats of all kinds are the prime culprits and the major killers. If you stop eating any foods containing fats, this action alone would almost eliminate your problems with excess cholesterol, give you more energy, cause you to lose weight, and dramatically increase the likelihood that you will live to 80 and beyond. With regard to complex carbohydrates versus protein or fats, top athletes, especially marathon runners, are known to engage in carbohydrate loading the night before a long run or a big race. They gorge themselves on pasta, potatoes, rice, and other complex carbohydrates because they know that this food will serve as a form of high-octane fuel, giving them a continuous flow of energy without making them feel sluggish or bloated. And if it works for athletes striving for maximum performance, it'll certainly work for you. The third common denominator of the diets of the Olympic athletes was that they drank lots of fluids, especially water. When you drink 6, 8, or 10 glasses of water per day, it acts to detoxify your entire body, cleansing your cells and washing out the impurities and toxins that build up during the course of digestion. And a simple way to tell whether or not you're drinking enough water is to look at the color of your urine. The more yellow it is, the more toxins and impurities there are in your body. But if you're drinking enough water, your urine should be almost clear. In addition to lean source protein, complex carbohydrates, and lots of water, there is a new concept in nutrition called undereating without undernourishment. This breakthrough research on health and longevity suggests that the best way to assure longer life is to eat foods that are rich in nutrients, foods that are full of color, such as fruits and vegetables, while at the same time reducing the total number of calories eaten per day. By undereating and yet eating nutrient-rich foods, you may be able to dramatically increase your energy, your vitality, and your lifespan. As I mentioned earlier, laboratory rats who are underfed without being undernourished in this way increase their lifespan by the human equivalent of 30 to 50 years. The work being done in this area of undereating without undernourishment may be the most revolutionary breakthrough in the study of longevity in all of human history. You'll be hearing more about it in the months and years ahead in various magazines and newspapers. In fact, here's what the New York Times said about this concept on April 17, 1990. Here is a diet that extends lifespan by 50% or more. It prevents heart disease, diabetes, and kidney failure, and it greatly retards all types of cancer. It eliminates or forestalls many of the usual banes of aging, including cataracts, gray hair, and feebleness. Adherence to the diet keeps the mind supple and the body spry to an almost biblical old age. And, oh yes, the dieter stays slim, very, very slim. In laboratory experiments, investigators have discovered that animals raised on a meal plan containing all the necessary vitamins and other nutrients, but only 60% to 65% of the calories of the animal's normal diet, will live significantly longer than expected. By nearly all measures, from the health of the creature's organs and the robustness of its immune system to the lustrous appearance of its fur, the animal on the restricted diet maintains the vigor of youth long after the well-fed control animals in the experiment have become weak, sluggish, and grizzled. Indeed, long after the controls have died. Laboratory mice fed the restricted diet, for example, have lived to 55 months. The average lifespan of lab mice eating a normal diet, in which they consume as much as they want to, just as most laboratory rodents do, is about 36 months. On a microscopic level, the diet protects the genes against environmental insults, keeps important enzymes operating at peak efficiency, and cuts back on dangerous metabolic byproducts in the body. These claims are not merely snake oil phantasms, but the results of astonishing studies that lately have captured broad attention among scientists in the fields of aging, toxicology, oncology, and other disciplines. The outcome of calories restriction is spectacular, said Rich Weindruck, a gerontologist at the National Institute on Aging in Bethesda, Maryland. Gerontologists have tried many things to extend lifespan, but this is the only one that consistently works in the lab. Much to their surprise, researchers have found that it doesn't matter whether the sharply restricted diet is composed largely of fat or of carbohydrates. As long as the animal receives a minimum amount of protein and enough vitamins and minerals to prevent malnutrition, the creature survives to the same venerable old age. Initial observations that an extremely low-calorie diet extends lifespan in animals date to the 1930s, but they were long shrugged off as mere laboratory curiosities. Only now is the study of dietary restriction receiving wide attention and extensive financial support. It's been a sleeping giant, Weindruck said, but the giant has awoken. Thus far, researchers have studied only rats, mice, and species even lower on the phylogenetic scale, including fish, spiders, worms, water fleas, and protozoa. All creatures fed a restricted diet have had greatly extended lives, as said the report in the New York Times. The bottom line of this research seems to be that the leaner you keep yourself while eating high-quality foods, the healthier you will be, the more energy you will have, and the longer you will live. Along with eating lean source protein, adding more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains to your diet, and drinking lots of water, there are also certain foods which you should eliminate from your diet altogether. I call these foods the three white poisons. The first white poison is white sugar. Any food made with white sugar is bad for you. White sugar and its derivatives, brown sugar, dextrose, sucrose, and powdered sugar, as well as honey, are all what we call simple carbohydrates. A simple carbohydrate is a sugar that goes straight into your bloodstream almost immediately after ingestion. When you consume a simple carbohydrate in the form of candy, cake, donuts, soft drinks, or any other sugar-rich product, the sugar floods directly into your system, causing your pancreas to secrete huge amounts of insulin into the bloodstream to remove the sugar overdose. The pancreas always overreacts, and as a result, it takes out more sugar than it intended to. What happens then is that your energy level goes up, but in less than an hour it will plummet as the sugar is absorbed by the extra insulin. This will eventually cause you to experience fatigue, mood swings, irritation, and depression as your body rides this sugar overdose, insulin-depleting roller coaster. The average American adult consumes more than 160 pounds of sugar per year, and the fact is that you need no extra sugar at all in your diet if you're consuming enough fruits and vegetables and enough complex carbohydrates. Is it any wonder that more than 50 million Americans are overweight? Sugar consumption leads to tooth decay, diabetes, lightheadedness, and poor performance. Because sugar-based foods and liquids have no nutrients, they deliver a double detriment. Not only do they do you no good, but they also crowd out your appetite for foods that would provide you with valuable nutrients. The very act of stopping the taking in of sugar in any form will cause you to feel better. And when you eliminate desserts from your meals, you'll actually start to lose weight almost immediately. The law of accumulation applies to sugar products and desserts also. Everything counts. When you discipline yourself to delete sugar from your diet, you start to eat better, more wholesome foods and enjoy them more. As you start to feel healthier and more energetic, you start to get interested in exercise. The combination of a better diet plus more exercise lowers your set point, improves your appearance, and raises your self-esteem. You feel more positive and self-confident, and all this results from eliminating sugar from your diet. The second white poison to eliminate from your diet is white salt. The average American requires less than 2 pounds of salt per year, and yet the average American consumes more than 20 pounds of salt per year. Ingestion of excess salt causes the body to retain water. Salt must be kept in suspension, and this is done by the body providing extra molecules of H2O, or water, for each molecule of sodium chloride, or salt. Excess salt consumption is a causative factor in high blood pressure, hypertension, insomnia, irritability, and other medical problems. Many people have found that they can lose weight by simply halting the consumption of excess salt and drinking 8 or 9 glasses of water per day. The extra water begins to wash out the excess salt in the system, and the puffiness in the skin begins to decrease. There's a good reason why Americans consume so much salt and sugar each year. Most processed or canned foods have been treated with large doses of sugar or salt in order to render them inert, in effect, to kill them, so that they will not go bad on the supermarket shelves. They will therefore have much longer shelf lives. You can prove this for yourself by reading the ingredients on any packaged or canned food. In most cans of soup, for example, you will find that there is more salt in the can than there is water or any other substance. This is also true of many packaged foods. When you change your way of eating so that you consume more fresh, natural foods, you'll begin automatically to decrease the amount of sugar and salt that you take in, and you'll feel far better for it. The third white poison to eliminate from your diet is white flour. There's substantial research which shows that the health of the average American has been deteriorating ever since the last century when whole grain breads were replaced by breads made from purified, bleached white flour. When wheat is ground into flour and the flour is bleached white, all the nutrients in the flour are rendered useless for all nutritional purposes. There is virtually no food value in any food product made from white flour aside from a few empty calories. In fact, you would be better off flushing white bread down the toilet rather than eating it. Because if you flushed it down the toilet, you would be then much more likely to eat something that had nutritional value. If it's true that you are what you eat, then it's absolutely essential that you discipline yourself to eat only foods that are consistent with the person you want to be and the goals you want to achieve. If you're serious about developing and maintaining high levels of energy, you have no choice but to go through your diet step by step, as you would go through your old clothes in the closet, and eliminate those foods and substances that are not contributing to the levels of energy and vitality that you desire. The wonderful thing about doing this is that your taste buds will come alive again. You will start to really taste and enjoy the flavors of the rich, nutritious foods that you begin to eat. The first part of enjoying high levels of energy is to take in the energy in the first place. The four major sources of energy are food, liquids, exercise, and impressions, or the way you respond to events and circumstances. The second part of enjoying high energy levels is to conserve the energy that you've taken in. You consume energy in basically 5 ways: through physical exertion, mental work, sexual activity, digestion, and the expression of negative emotions. We'll discuss the expression of negative emotions later in this course. However, the process of digestion is the greatest single consumer of energy in the physical body. In order for you to have the energy you need to do your work well and to achieve your goals, you must learn to conserve energy. You must learn how to reduce the amount of energy your body is using for digestion so that the energy can be available to you for more productive activities. And virtually all activities are more productive than the process of digestion. In his autobiography, Benjamin Franklin tells how, as a young man, he formed the habit of eating lightly at lunchtime, while his companions gorged themselves on the free food provided by their employer. For the rest of the afternoon, Ben Franklin was alert and busy, while his companions were slow and drowsy. He writes that this habit of eating lightly at lunchtime was the starting point of his great success as a businessman, inventor, and statesman. He eventually became America's first self-made millionaire. There's a way of eating called food combining, which will allow you to eat as much as you want without feeling drowsy afterwards. This is how it works. When you eat proteins like meat or fish, your body secretes acids into your stomach to break down and digest the proteins before they move into the small intestine. When you eat carbohydrates, your body secretes alkalines or bases into the stomach to break down the carbohydrates before they move into the small intestine. However, when you eat a meal which contains both proteins and starches, both meat and potatoes, for example, the body secretes both acid and bases into the stomach at the same time to break down the partially digested food. The acids and the bases then neutralize each other and stop the digestive process. The body must then expend an enormous amount of energy to break down these undigested foods, secreting even more acids and bases, causing you to feel drowsy as you do after eating any big meal. In their best-selling book, Fit for Life, Harvey and Marilyn Diamond teach that if you eat proteins with vegetables, or you eat pastas with vegetables, this mixing of acids and bases does not take place. For example, if you eat a salad with a protein such as meat or fish, the body only secretes acids to break down the combination. The net result is that you will have all the nutrition you require, but you will feel light and alert after eating. If you eat pasta and vegetables, the body will only secrete bases or alkalines to break down the pasta or carbohydrates, and again, you will have the nutrition you require with no loss of alertness. It's only when you mix proteins and starches together in the same meal that the body has such a difficult time breaking down the food that it must draw energy from every other part of the body to help the process along. According to the Diamonds, the most easily digestible foods are raw fruits and fruit juices. The stomach needs less than an hour to break these foods down into nutrients that the body can use. If you begin your day with a fruit and fiber-based carbohydrate such as a bran muffin, rather than bacon and eggs with toast, you will feel bright, fresh, and alert for the entire morning, rather than drowsy and needing several cups of coffee to get yourself cranked up and moving. One study of American business and industry concluded that the average working person in America does not really get going until about 11 a.m. A large part of the reason for this is probably because the average working person eats a breakfast combining proteins and starches, which causes him or her to start the day off feeling tired and drowsy. If you're really serious about enjoying higher levels of energy, you should test out these ideas for yourself. The next key to enjoying high levels of energy and vitality is proper exercise. Aerobic exercise is the best. Aerobic exercise is exercise that gets your heart rate up between 120 and 180 beats per minute, depending on your age, and keeps it there for 20 to 30 minutes approximately 3 times per week. Dr. Kenneth Cooper, the founder of modern aerobics, has concluded that if you organize your exercise program so that you achieve 30 aerobic points per week, you can enjoy high levels of cardiovascular fitness, higher levels of physical and mental well-being, and reduce your weight all at the same time. The 6 best aerobic exercises are the following: cross-country skiing, running, swimming, rowing, cycling, and walking. 1 hour of cross-country skiing will give you your full 30 aerobic points for the week. Running 2 to 4 miles per day, 3 days per week, will give you your 30 aerobic points. Swimming for 25 minutes, 3 times per week, will give you 30 aerobic points. Rowing for 20 minutes, 3 times a week, will give you 30 aerobic points. Cycling 25 miles per week will give you all of the aerobic points that you need for cardiovascular fitness. And walking 1 hour per day will give you perfect cardiovascular fitness. Out of these 6, there's probably at least one exercise that you can do that will enable you to achieve and maintain superb levels of overall fitness. By the way, recent research has shown that if you run 2 miles per day, you get the same increased level of fitness as if you run 4 or 6 or 10 miles per day. The same research concluded that a person who walks 2 miles per day, 5 days per week, achieves and maintains the same level of cardiovascular fitness as a person who runs 4 or 5 or 6 miles per day. There doesn't seem to be any major added physical benefit from running extra miles beyond a certain point. If you're truly serious about living to be a healthy, fit, and vital 80 years of age or more, it's absolutely essential that you decide upon an exercise program and then discipline yourself to follow it until it becomes a regular part of your life. In making regular exercise a habit, it's better to exercise in the morning than at any other time of the day. Morning exercisers tend to stay with an exercise program longer than people who exercise at lunchtime or after work. Waking up every morning and doing 20 to 30 minutes of vigorous exercise, including stretching and aerobics, and possibly muscle-building exercises with light weights or calisthenics, is the very best way to start off your day. It'll also curb your appetite. People who are committed to physical fitness programs also tend to be far more careful about what they eat, how much they eat, and when they eat it. The famous Alameda study, which followed 8,000 men for 20 years to determine which health habits were most conducive to long life, discovered that there were 7 basic health habits that anyone could follow which would virtually guarantee a longer lifespan than the average. The first habit they identified was to eat regularly. Eat 3 or 4 meals per day, but don't skip meals. Just as your car would not function well if you allowed it to run out of gas or oil, your mind and body don't function well if you neglect to keep yourself properly fueled. Remember, your body is like a factory that works a 24-hour shift, and it needs a continuous flow of proper nutrients to operate at its best. A good idea is to allow 5 hours between meals so that one complete digestive cycle has taken place before another begins. It takes about 4 to 5 hours for a meal to break down and move from your stomach into your small intestine. If you eat new foods that enter the stomach when the food already there is in an advanced state of digestion, the two batches of food get mixed up and the digestive process becomes confused. The result will be bloating, gas, heartburn, indigestion, and a feeling of sluggishness. The second health habit identified by the Alameda study was the importance of eating moderately. It takes about 20 minutes from the time you begin eating until your stomach signals your brain that you've had enough. If you eat too rapidly, you'll tend to overeat. The way to avoid this is to eat slowly and start your meals with soups or juices. They suppress your apostat and reduce your need for large portions. As we discussed earlier, digestion is the major energy drain in your body, and eating lightly gives you the nutrients you require without causing you to feel tired and drowsy. The third health habit identified by the Alameda study was moderate to nil alcohol consumption. This range of alcohol consumption is defined as an average of 1 or perhaps 2 drinks per day, but no more, and if possible, not every single day. Excessive alcohol consumption causes cirrhosis of the liver, a leading cause of death in America. In addition, fully 50% of all fatal traffic accidents are alcohol-related, with innocent third parties or people in the other car being the most likely to be killed, not the drinking driver. A good way to cut down on the habit of finishing the day with a couple of drinks is to drink a tall glass of fruit juice instead. The natural sugar in the fruit juice satisfies the body's need for a quick pickup, which is the same feeling that an alcoholic drink gives you. Once you've had a big glass of fruit juice, often you feel little or no desire for a drink. By the way, a drink is defined as 1.5 ounces of hard liquor, 4 ounces of wine, or 1 12-ounce bottle of beer. A good exercise, if you want to cut down on the amount you drink, is to stop associating with the people you're used to drinking with and start associating with non-drinkers or those who are more moderate in their alcohol consumption. If you feel that you've become dependent on alcohol, if you start looking forward to the end of the day because that's when you can start drinking, have the courage and character to do something about it. Personally, I enjoy wine with dinner, but once a year I take a month off and refuse to drink anything alcoholic. I do this as a discipline just to make sure that I can continue to take it or leave it. You might also challenge yourself to give up drinking for a month as an exercise in self-awareness and self-control. If you do, you're going to be amazed at how much of our culture's social activities are associated with alcohol. However, you'll soon find, perhaps to your surprise, that you don't miss it at all. Then you'll know that you have it under your control rather than alcohol having you under its control. The fourth health habit for longevity is no snacking between meals. Not only does snacking lead to weight gain, but it also leads to the disruption of the digestive process, and it consumes more energy. The fifth health habit is no smoking. Smoking has been associated with 32 different diseases. Smoking is associated with lip cancer, tongue cancer, throat cancer, esophageal cancer, lung cancer, and stomach cancer, as well as several others. It's also closely associated with heart disease, arterial sclerosis, phlebitis, strokes, and varicose veins. The very act of smoking depletes your body of vital nutrients that it requires for high levels of health and energy. Not only that, smoking turns people off who would normally be open to helping you. If you're a smoker, make the decision today that you are going to eliminate smoking from your life. Do it as an investment in your health and in your future. There was a little item in the Reader's Digest a few years ago called A Sure Way to Stop Smoking. I would like to read you the last two paragraphs. The gentleman is 67 and has been smoking for 50 years. He's been diagnosed with an inoperable lung cancer and has been given less than 6 months to live. This is what he wrote. With my family's longevity, I should live into my 80s. But according to some doctors, I have about a 50-50 chance of living another 6 months. 15 years lost. Each of my 520,000 cigarettes cost me more than 15 minutes of life. Each carton, more than 50 hours. On the other hand, I've kicked the habit. So take heart if you're a smoker. You don't really have to go through the difficult process of renouncing the weed and putting up with the unpleasant stresses of withdrawal. Keep puffing away. Enjoy it. You'll break the habit easily if you get cancer. And you will stop smoking, friend. You surely will. This was written just a few months before the writer died of lung cancer. The stopping of smoking, if you're a smoker, can do more to help your overall levels of health and fitness and to assure your longevity than perhaps any other decision that you can possibly make. Wonderfully enough, the human body is very resilient, and the lungs will return to normal in as little as 6 months when a person quits smoking. Life insurance premiums are about half for non-smokers than they are for smokers. The insurance company statistics and actuarial tables have proven that smokers are almost twice as likely to die prematurely as non-smokers. The sixth health habit associated with longevity is regular exercise, as we discussed earlier. The human body is subject to the law of use, which says, if you don't use it, you lose it. Your body grows stronger, more resilient, and more flexible the more you use it. So if you want to be active and busy in your later years, you need to be active and busy today. Regular exercise means 3 or 4 times per week, every week, for the rest of your life. And the seventh health habit to assure that you live to a ripe old age is regular rest, 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. In order to keep up high levels of energy for sustained performance, you must get sufficient rest. As far as the number of hours you should sleep each night, there are many variations. Some people can get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep per night. Some people need 7 or 8 or even 9 hours of sleep per night. Each person's metabolism is different from that of virtually everyone else's. It's only when you find yourself sleeping more than 9 hours of sleep per night that you need to consider the possibility that there may be an emotional or psychological problem that you're not dealing with. With regard to types of energy, there was some very interesting work done on this subject in the early part of this century. A man named Peter Uspensky postulated the idea that the human body uses 4 different kinds of energy, although modern medicine bundles them all together and treats them as one. Uspensky compared the human body to an oil refinery. An oil refinery takes in crude oil and then refines it, breaking it down through a complex process to produce smaller and smaller quantities of ever more refined forms of oil products and derivatives. For example, 1,000 pounds of crude oil, when processed through a refinery, might yield 100 pounds of motor oil. 100 pounds of motor oil, subsequently processed to a higher degree, might yield 10 pounds of gasoline. 10 pounds of gasoline, processed to an even higher level, might yield 1 pound of lighter fluid. In each case, it takes a large amount of the cruder substance to produce an ever smaller but more valuable amount of the finer but more combustible or flammable substance. When describing types of energy used by the human system, Uspensky suggested that when we take in basic food, we take in the energy needed for physical work. If we work very hard physically, we will consume all of our energy in physical labor, leaving no energy left over for the higher functions of the human mind. If, however, we don't use all of the raw energy taken in for physical labor, as most of us don't, then the body will refine the energy in the ratio of 1,000 down to 100 and produce 100 units of emotional energy. If we then consume our emotional energy in the expression of negative emotions, such as feelings of fear, doubt, and anger, we will use up all of our energy at the emotional level. If, however, we don't use up our emotional energy in the expression of negative emotions, it will be further refined into intellectual energy, the energy that enables us to think with clarity, to analyze and solve problems. If we don't use all of our mental energy in the performance of mental work and the solving of problems, it will be further refined into psychic energy. Psychic energy is also called the energy of creation. This is the energy that we use to come up with ideas, insights, intuition, and often original and creative ideas, books, solutions to problems, and even works of art. Superior men and women seem to be those who have adjusted their lives in such a way that they conserve energy at the lower levels so that it refines upward and becomes available at the higher levels for mental work and psychic creation. This explains why successful people tend to be calmer than unsuccessful people. They don't get excited or emotional over little things. They're more relaxed and objective. They preserve their energy so that they can function better and longer and with greater clarity. The primary use of energy in the physical body is for the digestion of food, as we discussed earlier. The primary use of energy emotionally is in the expression of negative emotions. The primary reason that people fail to fulfill their potentials is because they consume all their potential mental and creative energy, the energy that would enable them to solve their problems and achieve their goals, in the expression of negative emotions. The vast majority of men and women are so consumed with their negative feelings, both inwardly and outwardly expressed, that they use up all their energy at the emotional level. This idea of different types of energy is easy to illustrate. Have you ever been in a situation where you've worked extremely hard physically all day and then gone home? Do you remember not wanting to get involved in an argument or any kind of serious discussion which involved the use of your mind or emotions for decision making? Or have you ever been in a situation, perhaps at work or in a relationship, that was draining so much emotional energy from you that when you went home at night, you didn't want to make even the simplest decisions, even such as what to have for dinner or where to go in the evening? Have you ever worked so hard during the week, consuming your physical, emotional, and mental energies to the point where at the end of the week you were burned out and you couldn't come up with an idea or a solution to a problem which you would normally be able to deal with quite easily? These are all examples where you have experienced energy depletion at one or more levels. In order to achieve higher levels of energy, not only do you need to modify your diet and your eating habits, but you need to modify your thinking habits. The hardy personality, the optimistic, cheerful, resilient individual, is one who conserves his or her mental and emotional energies by not expressing negative emotions, so that he or she has more mental and psychic energy available to achieve the really important things in life. This idea of the different types and uses of energy explains many things that are otherwise impossible to understand. The way you eliminate the expression of negative emotions is by using the law of substitution. Instead of becoming angry about something, substitute the words, I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible. Instead of thinking resentful thoughts about another person, say instead, God bless him or God bless her, over and over until you no longer feel any negativity. Eliminating the expression of negative emotions doesn't mean that you suppress or repress the emotions. It means instead that you find reasons not to express. You use the cognitive control method. You use your ability to think and change the way you feel about the situation from negative to positive. And remember always that this is a perfectly selfish act. This is the only way that you can build up enough mental and psychic energy to achieve real success in areas that are important to you. Negativity of any kind, suppressed or expressed, depresses the body's immune system and makes you susceptible to all kinds of diseases and infections. People who are positive and cheerful have stronger immune systems and are seldom sick or unwell for any reason. People who are angry or who give in to the expression of negative emotions tend to be susceptible to every bacteria and virus that comes along. One of the keys to energy, vitality, and a maximum performance lifestyle is to adjust your mental attitude in such a way that you're never sick for any reason, that you never miss work, and that you're never physically, emotionally, or mentally run down. Remember that it's not the number of hours that you put in, but the amount of good quality working and thinking time that you put into those hours. There's one last subject with regard to energy, vitality, and a high-performance lifestyle, and that's the subject of vitamin and mineral supplements. Most of our foods today are grown in such a way that they are deficient in the nutrients that they would normally have. Many people have special needs, such as for additional iron or zinc or magnesium or calcium or even for potassium. Each body is slightly different from every other body. Your blood composition is slightly different from that of the blood composition of any other person who has ever lived. So it may be that in order for your entire system to function at its best, you need an additive. You need extra vitamins and minerals. The best way to find vitamin and mineral supplements that are right for you is to have your blood tested for the various nutrients that have been identified as components of good health. You can also ask other people who are using vitamin and mineral supplements for their recommendations. More and more doctors are becoming knowledgeable about nutrition and its connection with health, energy, and longevity. Ask a trusted doctor or a specialist in nutrition or holistic medicine. Many people have found that the addition of one vitamin or mineral that was lacking in their diet or which was in their diet in insufficient quantities for them has dramatically improved their overall levels of health and energy. Your responsibility to yourself is to set a goal to live as long as you possibly can, to be at least 80 years of age, and then to have the character and the discipline to do everything and only those things which contribute to the achievement of this goal. There's no investment that will give you a better and more enjoyable payoff than an ongoing commitment and dedication to achieving and maintaining the highest levels of health, energy, and vitality for yourself. Here's an exercise for you. Sit down and make a list of every positive health habit that you would have if you lived to be 100. Write down every single thing that you can think of that you would be doing based on what you've learned in this session and what you already know to achieve and maintain high levels of health and vitality. Then, make another list of all the things that you would stop doing if you are absolutely determined to get to the 100-year mark. Once you've made these two lists, select one thing that you're going to start doing more of immediately, and select one thing that you're going to stop doing today. Put this list in your goal book and review it regularly. Challenge yourself to gradually develop the habits which will lead to the longest health and longevity that you can imagine. Set perfection as your standard and stay at it persistently until you look and feel terrific.